Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one-coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Welcome back. Pleasure to have Phil Simms, 15-year NFL veteran, Super Bowl MVP, Giants quarterback. You younger viewers or listeners might only know him from being an analyst, but he could play. He could go. And he's joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Phil, welcome in. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, guys. Good to be on the show with you finally. But hope you're doing well. And the other thing is, sorry, choked up this morning talking to you. But the other thing is, the season's over in Houston, so we can relax and move on and see what happens.
Phil, yeah, we don't have to watch Phil, that every week.
I think you know I do NFL draft work, so my season's just starting.
Yeah.
My season is just starting. I've got to go find quarterbacks that I think can play for the Houston Texans and, well, for 31 other teams as well. But you talk about relaxing and letting it be over. But, Phil, from the outside looking in, this is an organization who has had 2 one-and-done head coaches. They have had it's been a very dysfunctional front office and ownership situation for a few years now. I think one of the things that you know and understand is that it really does start at the top. And until things are right at the top, whether it's ownership or front office, it's hard to have a sustainable winning product until you have things in place. And the Texans are nowhere close to having things in place.
You know, I don't know what to say to that except I agree with everything. I think it starts with the owner, and it just goes through the whole organization. Of course, the GM, the head coach. You know, I'm a big proponent all the time about this, all this, what you're talking about, Lance. But also, you know, I think coaching is so big in the NFL. I think it's bigger than any other sport. It's not even close one second. And we see it every year with teams that change coaches, whatever, and all of a sudden, oh, well, this guy's playing better this year, and he's finally growing. Hey, the coaches have so much to do with that. And just to say for the Houston Texans, 2 years of one-and-done coaches, that's disturbing. It really is. I mean, what can you set and get done when you're taking over a bad football team a bad football team, and how much are you going to change in that first year? You need a couple years. So that bothers me, and I hope they get it straightened out. And the other thing is, too, Lance, you're right. I can't imagine the work with the quarterback. I'm really interested in it this offseason, but that's a good month or two away for me. So I'm
take your time and enjoy the NFL season. I will say, though, it's a little lesser quarterback class this year, and now we're not sure what's going on with Tom Brady. We're not sure what's going on with Aaron Rodgers. We're getting ready to maybe lose a couple of veteran quarterbacks, Russell Wilson, these are guys who are tier one quarterbacks without question. And if they start to fall out of that, it will be interesting to see if we have the vacuum of talent to step into those roles, because I'm not sure it's coming from this quarterback class. And then you look at the Trevor Lawrence class that everyone was so excited about with Mac Jones and Justin Fields and Trey Lance and obviously Trevor Lawrence. That one hasn't really lived up to the hype yet as well, Phil.
Yeah, probably not. You know,
Zach Wilson.
This quarterback class, I remember during the summer that's coming out, I kind of gave some sneak peeks at everything. And, you know, I follow as much as I can during the season. I love my job because I get to sit home on Saturdays and watch college football all day as I kind of prepare for the next day's show. But I thought overall, all the quarterbacks we're talking about, I thought the value as far as the quarterback position went down during the year in college football. So it'll really be interesting to see how it's all judged and evaluated for the reasons why. And, you know, I think, too, I got excited about a few guys. Like, just say Anthony Richardson. That I think I said it's Anthony, right, Richardson?
Yep.
So I watched him a few times in Florida, and I just said, wow, he's not ready to go into pro football. But he's coming out. And the one thing I'm learning more and more, and probably didn't give it enough credence before, how much do you play in college? And, you know, experience is a big deal. playing quarterback, just feeling the pocket, knowing what to do, reading, doing the right thing, all that stuff. And I think the more throws you get in college, the better prepared you are for the pros, that's for sure.
Phil Simms with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. To Daniel Jones, Jared Goff, Daniel Jones, Tua's a little bit different, Geno Smith. These guys win themselves over on their staffs and their fan bases?
In my mind, they did. You know, look, I'm a Geno Smith fan. I saw him here in New York. I've been on a field with him, watched him throw many times. And, you know, the talent, it's the size, he's mobile, he's got a really good arm, throws a beautiful ball, he's got touch, he's competitive. I thought it was a tremendous year for him. I don't know what Seattle's going to do. I'll be very surprised if they don't stay with him at quarterback because he played tough. You know, it kind of fell apart for him at the end of the year, but he hung in there. And I went back this week and watched that 49er game. I think it was week 15. And my gosh, with the 49ers all over him, but he hung in there and competed and moved and made a ton of five-yard tough throws. But, you know, that game, they had a chance, and they did a good job. But Daniel Jones, I never gave up on him. You know, Lance, I'll just say this. When you're big, you can really run. You've got a good arm. I'm not saying it's top-flight power arm, but he is accurate, spins it, all that stuff. I just see hope there. And Brian Daboll brought it out. And that just goes to show you what coaching, now he's got some experience, it can do. Tua, I'm watching Miami Dolphins film this morning. To say their offense doesn't look the same without Tua, that's the biggest understatement you could ever make. I mean, it's like, wow, they forgot what to call, what to design, and, you know, the other quarterbacks are just not capable of playing like Tua did. That offense was unbelievable for him. He did a great job. So I feel bad for him. I know there's going to be a lot of still question marks about Tua as we go forward, physically, the concussion. But, you know, I think, too, just physically, there's still some issues there, and we'll see how that works out. I missed somebody.
We've got
Jared Goff.
Yeah, Jared Goff.
Okay. Jared Goff, when you see me, you can slap me in the back of the head as hard as you want. Because, you know, I was not a huge fan. When the trade happened, I said, wow, what a good deal for the Rams. But, Jared, again, what do you think about Ben Johnson? And I wasn't late to the party about him. I got steamrolled early in the year. I said, look, this Lions offense is one of the best conceived and designed offenses I watch in the NFL. And, man, I got people just crush me. And I go, well, maybe I'm wrong. But now, as I followed all through the year, I was right. And it was an unbelievable example how to coach a game and what to do, how to close it out. And even Dan Campbell, man, did he grow as a coach, and he's just so connected to the players and everything in the game. It was pretty impressive. But Jared Goff, hey, really, really good job. Protected the ball, threw it well. He's throwing it better than he ever did in his career. You know, I never was impressed with him throwing in L.A., but this year I thought he threw the ball physically really well, made good decision, of course, too.
Shane Steichen over there with Jalen Hurts, Jared Goff, you just mentioned, with Ben Johnson, Mike McDaniel with Tua. I know Tua didn't finish the season great, but had a much better season. Of course, some really, really good weapons. We've talked about Andy Reid, of course, with Pat Mahomes in the past. But Phil, when you look at this, I want to ask you a question philosophically. The Houston Texans are going to be in the hunt for a head coach, and Steichen and Johnson are a couple of names that are going to be mentioned. Would you rather, knowing the importance of having a good quarterback whisperer with a young quarterback? We know about that. You can have that as head coach, or you can have that as offensive coordinator. Would you rather have a head coach that's offensive, you know, that's an offensive-minded guy? Because that guy's still in charge of the entire team, so I wonder if some of his attention would be pulled away from the offensive side, or would you rather have just the best coordinator you can find, and you don't care about, in quarterback coach slash quarterback coach, and you don't care as much about having the head coach be an offensive-minded guy if you have a young quarterback?
Yeah, look, I'm not biased, but I think I am. I want the head coach to be an offensive guy if I'm given the preference. One, because he can teach people below him. Look at Brian Daboll. You know, he's the guy in Buffalo. Man, he did a great job up there. He comes down here, he gives the play calling to Mike Kafka. But I guarantee you, Mike Kafka when the week is over, his ear is burning because he's always getting information from Brian Daboll. I want this, do this, and stuff like that. So, you know, Kevin O'Connell, what he did up in Minnesota, with not that Kirk Keith had good years before, but you see that. And so I do want that guy. You said Shane Steichen down in Philadelphia. That offense, wow, what a great job they did designing it, how to do it, with, and it all fits their quarterback. You know, Jalen Hurts, of course, I had him as the MVP until he got hurt, and, you know, I guess that's going to wipe him out from there. He's not a great thrower of the ball. He's got good numbers and all that, but between the running and the positions they put you in, because of coaching, it elevates his talent too. Or maybe I should just say it allows all this talent to come out. And very, very impressed with what they do. I've told a couple of college coaches who I'm really close to, I said, listen, I'd hate to butt into your business, but go down to Philadelphia, study that offense, and try to duplicate it as much as you can. And that's how much I think of it, how that system can fit so many quarterbacks, especially in college, but also in the pros too. Just, and it, you know, look, Howie Roseman, the talent, it's undeniable. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, even Quez Watkins. Go ahead and play those guys one-on-one. I just say good luck to you. So,
Phil's
been a great job, I should say.
Phil Simms with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you could have 5 minutes with Zach Wilson, what would you tell him, Phil?
Hey, listen. Here's one thing that I always say. When you come in the NFL as a quarterback, okay, this and that. In the second year, I think, and this is just me, I want to see a difference in you physically throwing the ball. And because when you come to the NFL, it's a whole different game as far as throwing the ball, being perfect with short passes, getting it out of your hands, all these things. I did not see that with Zach Wilson. He's got to make some changes physically. And it's easy to do. People, oh, you can't change your motion. That's the biggest crock in the world. Tiger Woods changed his golf swing 5 times. I didn't hear anybody going, oh, no, you can't change your golf swing. Hey, Trevor Lawrence, I know it's not something that the average fan's going to see, but his motion got tighter, better, more powerful, spinning the ball more, more accuracy. You know, he could throw with accuracy and power together. And, you know, there were times last year I go, wow, his arm, you know, it's not what I expected. And, you know, I saw some of these flaws when he was in college. I saw it quite a lot. But, man, I don't know who he throws with or what he did, but he really did change it. It changed his play. And, guys, I'm just saying this. When you're throwing the ball well as an NFL quarterback, you see it, you believe it, and you deliver it. You become a good decision maker when you are controlling that ball because of faith, and you see it cleanly. You're not worried about where it's going to go when it comes out of your hand. And that's what I saw from Trevor Lawrence.
Aaron Rodgers tightened his up when he got out of college as well. And then Tom Brady.
A complete change.
And then, you know, I think Tom Brady, when you look at Tom Brady over the years, it's impossible not to recognize the fact that Tom Brady actually improved his velocity over the years, and Joe Burrow is working with the same guy to try to improve his velocity. So you're right, Phil. These things can be changed.
Hey, Joe Burrow, you know, I saw him on the field last year, and I just went, you know, and I saw it on film, and I said to the coaches, man, he's throwing the ball with so much more power. They go, yeah, it's great, isn't it? It's just, you know, on and on. But, yeah, and then go back to Tom Brady. There's a reason why he is still throwing the ball so well. And, listen, I'm just going to tell you, my son, Matt, and me, we teach a lot of quarterbacks. That's all I do basically during the whole off season. I don't know how many. You put a number up there. It's whatever. But Tom Brady is the perfect example of what we teach and what we do. You know, he's good upper body movement, keeps the motion compact. Oh, and you notice he always follows through and gets through it because he's in such a good position, he has no choice. He can't stop it. But, and man, as Bruce Arians once said, and I read this, he didn't tell me, I think I read it. He goes, I've never been around a quarterback that likes to throw as much as Tom Brady. And that says it all. When you can do it over and over and never get sore arms and get fatigued because he's in shape to throw it, he trains to throw it. He didn't change his body, which is a big deal. You know, he didn't get try to put on extra weight to get bigger and all that stuff. And it's something to learn from, that's for sure.
Phil, I
think more quarterbacks should watch him, try to learn what he's doing, and it'll help their career.
Absolutely. Phil Simms with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you had to put your money on it, who's going to bounce back better, Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson?
Well, if I had to put money on it, I'm taking Deshaun Watson just because his movement and stuff like that. He's got a really flexible arm, so he can make all those throws with ease. I will say this. The last couple games of the year, I didn't really watch the last game by Denver real close yet. And I probably won't, but I thought it was the best maybe Russell Wilson played all year. It looked like he was free, quit thinking so much, and all, I don't know, just physically looked better, threw it better, moved around even more. So, but Deshaun Watson's the one, he's in the prime of his career, and I think he's another example. You know, he got better throwing the ball, even as a pro, which is what you always want to see. And it'll be interesting. The Cleveland Browns, arguably the best running team in football, if you want to say it, all that, and now they're talking about we need to go to a passing offense and the air raid. I think the owner said that. I'm like, okay. You know, the coach can only teach really what he believes and knows, so that'll be interesting to see what happens there in Cleveland with Deshaun.
Well, especially after what you saw, Deshaun, it wasn't all that good. That's
it definitely wasn't. You know, everybody kept saying, "Oh, he's getting better," and I go, "Really? Is he?" I think I saw a little more freedom. He looks like he's a little better in NFL quarterback shape and the games and all that. But yeah, there were still a lot of tough moments and everything. And you know, that team is just not built around the quarterback yet. But I'm sure this offseason, their main priority, of course, is their quarterback, getting more weapons and trying to make a little better transition to put more focus on Deshaun Watson.
Yep. All right, before you go, who are your favorites coming out of each conference?
Oh gosh, I really haven't even thought about that. I'm so excited about every game. There's not a game up there that doesn't catch my attention for some reason. It's the Philadelphia Eagles in San Francisco that jumps out. I mean, I'm not giving you anything that everybody doesn't talk about. You know, I'm really anxious to see the Buffalo Bills, if they can work their way through this and make it to the Super Bowl. I think it's going to be really tough, you know, for many reasons. But one will not be because of the quarterback. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I've put a lot of time in this week. I don't mean to prolong this. I'm watching Josh Allen. I go, wow, I got to be honest. I've underrated him even now.
Yeah.
The moving, the throws on the run, the big plays, and, of course, we all know what's going to happen in these playoffs with some of these quarterbacks. If they have a bad game, that's all we're going to judge them on. Not the year, who they are, what the team is, why they're there, but we're going to judge them. So these quarterbacks are under a tremendous microscope. And, hey, Justin Herbert, well, we'll just see if he can do it in the playoffs and all these things. I'm anxious to see him play with Trevor Lawrence. I mean, man.
Justin Herbert,
Lance, to tell you, and John, you too, of course, is – I loved him. I didn't like him coming out. I loved him. And people would ask me, and, you know, I always get beat around a little about this stuff, and I'm wrong all the time, too. I would have taken Justin Herbert. Now, I would have taken him if I was the Bengals. I said I thought he was the best. I would have taken him over the other quarterbacks. It's close call. And, yes, Joe Burrow's tremendous, there's no doubt, and all that. But that was just me because it was physical. He's big, he's really mobile, and he's got a power, accuracy, and touch. He's got it all throwing the football, and I think he's proven that. So I hope he plays well. I'm not, like, rooting for them over Jacksonville, but I think I would like to see the see the Chargers move on in these playoffs and see what they can do because they're healthy, and I think the coach has really caught on and managing the team pretty well so that – that's just a couple things I'm looking at.
The mistake I made with, and I had a first round grade on him, but and I watched him as a sophomore, and I thought, oh, this is the best quarterback prospect, moving forward. And then I didn't see him get a lot better the next 2 years. But the mistake I made is I saw the flashes. The flashes were like, wow. And then I got too nervous, and I gave him a grade based on the senior tape. And sometimes you need to grade the flashes because the flashes are what they're capable of being. And Justin Herbert did show you that. In college, I tell you, Phil, I know we don't want to keep you much longer, but I swear to you, I will get on a plane and bring my tape and go wherever you are. If I could watch some quarterback play with you sometime and tighten up my evaluations of quarterbacks, I would love the opportunity to do that if you ever get the chance.
Well, you know, listen, maybe I'll get down to your area down in Houston, but I would love to do it too. I mean, you know, as you can hear, I've got opinions on everything.
We all do.
You know, but here's what I do when I'm looking at quarterbacks in the college. I just judge them. And, you know, production and completion percentage and where they throw. You know, I'm just not big on all that because Justin Herbert's, their offense was not designed for the quarterback to be the guy.
Right.
And, you know, it was just not a good passing offense. And so I just did put nothing into it. I remember watching the Rose Bowl when he was in it. I just thought, oh, my gosh. You know, you know, at least I was right on that one. And I was right on Joe Burrow. I saw Joe Burrow's and watched him really close after his junior year at LSU. And I said, wow, I really like this guy. I wish he had a little more pep on the ball. But all the, and then what happens? He gets a better offense. Of course, he had great talent. And then we see it blossom into the guy we see now. And, of course, that was kind of a reach. Not a reach by me, because I got a lot of negative feedback about Justin Herbert, too. I went on a Miami radio station and said, listen, it's not even close in my eyes. I'm taking him over to it.
Yeah.
So Joe Rose is the sports guy down there. I called him the next day. I said, hey, what was the feedback once I got off the radio? He goes, oh, Phil, it was great. They called in and crushed you for 2 hours. And I said, yeah, I figured that was going to happen. That's why I went on with you, just to, you know, to stir it up a little. But, you know, I didn't say anything I didn't believe. And so it was. Those things happen every year with these quarterbacks. And this will be really interesting, too, John and Lance. I'm just interested to see where it falls. Who's the guy that kind of, hey, it's Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, which one's it going to be? You know, so that's the question is now. Will some other guys get in this conversation as they go along in the process? We'll see. But it's good. You know, I hate to say this, too. But, man, when there's quarterbacks coming out in the draft, it just makes the whole draft process more fun.
Oh, yeah.
And it does.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
But look, we'll keep in touch.
Yep.
And maybe this offseason, you know, if I get down there or whatever, we'll see if we can get together. I can show you some things that I watch and know that will duplicate in the NFL and some things that won't. So,
yeah, would love to. I think the best way to learn to evaluate talent is to talk to people who coach it or have done it.
Yep.
Because they see it in a different way.
At Phil Simms QB on Twitter. Must follow. At Phil Simms QB. Phil, great talking to you. We really appreciate the insight. And have fun watching the playoffs and this offseason teaching kids.
Okay, guys. And hey, look, good luck down in Houston. You know, for a team that didn't win much, I swear I think I watched every one of the games this year.
Oh, why? Why?
That is, boy, you just earned some.
Why'd you do that?
You just earned some graces there.
Know, well. Why? Because I'm nosy.
Phil, we appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys.
Phil Simms right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator. Roll with the sausage breakfast burrito. Buddy it up with a honey buddy. Or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes. And then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.